Welcome to Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio Show, home of the premier guides and CapMel.com.
There's lots of good eating fish out there. You don't have to be snacking down on carp anymore.
Captain Jason Prieto, Neil Taylor, and Danny Guarino give you the latest fishing forecast to keep you dialed in on the fish.
First of all, it shouldn't smell like fish.
So get ready for an hour of learning, laughs, and a little bit of cutting up.
You chose, as your topic, fish.
Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio Show starts now.
Now.
This segment brought to you by Grizzly Coolers, coolers that are made to last a lifetime. For more information on Grizzly Coolers, check out their website at grizzlycoolers.com or visit a retailer near you.
And welcome to the Big Show, another week of Fish Talk Radio on Sports Talk 1040, The Team. I'm Neil Taylor, Captain Travis Yackel.
In the studio.
He is sitting right here. We're going to tap his brain. He's been fishing all week. I've been fishing all week, so we're going to talk about what's been going on out there and whatever comes up in our conversation.
Should be interesting, Neil.
Yeah. So how was your week?
It's been pretty good. It's kind of been up and down. Some mornings are better than afternoons. Some afternoons are better than mornings. It just kind of depended. The wind was a honking.
Oh, yeah.
We've had some pretty high winds.
They say in the forecast we're finally going to have some days with no wind coming up.
Yeah, I mean, I fished this morning. And they called for 5 to 10. It was like 15 to 20.
Yeah, it was
and then
blowing.
It kind of laid down a little bit, and then it started picking back up once we got off the water. But outside of that, the wind's been honking, but the fish have been biting.
Yeah, we've done well too. We had great results on speckled trout. We had pretty good action on flounder. Some of the bigger flounder are starting to show up.
Nice.
We caught a couple of redfish. I know you had some strong redfish outings.
Yeah. The snook has been consistent. Still getting quite a few of those guys. And then just this past week, we've started to get some of the larger overslot reds, quite a few in a couple different spots, you know. So that's good to start seeing them bunch up. Starting to stack up in some areas that we're used to seeing them. So it's been a good week of fishing. We actually did catch a couple flounder, now that I'm thinking about it. Some of the sand holes that we fish every now and again, we mess up a little bit, I guess, and snag a flounder. I always tell people when we're flounder fishing or when I think I have a flounder on, I go, hey, what's it feel like you're reeling in? You know, and they go, oh, I don't know. I said, does it feel like a pair of underwear?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you got a flounder.
It's like you hooked a really big weed.
But now talking about flounder, because that one's kind of off the wall. We always talk about the redfish, snook, and trout. But give us some ideas, Neil, on how you flounder fish. I know you're artificial, but still.
We had 2 days this week where we caught more than 25 flounder.
Wow.
And you go deeper sand holes. So common denominator for flounder is always sand bottom.
Mm-hmm.
It's rare, but you will catch some over grass occasionally. But a majority of the flounder are going to be over the sand. Areas I fish for them, almost exclusively, I go to deeper sand instead of shallower sand.
Right.
And
you're seeing some pretty good size ones, or keepers?
As of the last couple of days, finally some bigger ones. We had, they've been in for about 6 weeks.
Right.
So we had about 5.5 weeks where they were all 12 to 13 inch fish or
mm-hmm.
smaller.
Mm-hmm.
And the past few days we've been working in a couple 16, 17 inchers.
Nice.
And when they finally make the full migration in, every day out we'll catch a 19, 20 inch flounder every time out.
Yeah. And they're fun too. They're fun and they're tricky. They're tricky to get in the boat.
I call it flounder frustration. You know, when we're fishing flounder, I'll tell people you're going to lose at least one out of two.
Yeah, it happens.
If
man.
Not two out of three. I mean, they're just tough to get in. And the technique I use, I catch flounder other people will not. And in the kayak, it's technique. You stop reeling at the right time. You get the leader close to you, and you yank on that leader and get that fish
snatch
airborne.
Right. Yeah.
Because the lure's going to fly out half the time.
Yep.
You get that fish airborne, you get your hand down, the fish will slide in the boat.
Money.
Yeah, it's
we got to get that on video, Neil.
Yeah, it's a technique. That,
we got to YouTube that.
I just talked you through it, but then you in practice, you're going to have to practice that one.
Now, any colors, any certain bait that you like more than others? Or
the 12-fathom Slam R is my number one flounder bait.
Okay.
They are opportunists, so they will eat almost anything that's moving in front of them.
Right.
Doesn't matter what style lure. As long as you have it down near the bottom, your likelihood of catching them is very high.
Nice.
If you're working lures too fast, you're not going to get as many strikes.
Right, that's kind of what we've noticed.
So I've got people out there fishing, and I'll tell you, you got to slow it down. You got to slow it down. There's times where you can't go too slow for flounder.
Sure.
And they'll pick up lures that are just being dragged.
I've noticed, too, that we've actually caught quite a few flounder up in the south end of the bay on the south shore down by the bridge. There's some good areas down there that are just covered up with some flounder at certain times of the year. And what I've noticed is sometimes I'll be down there fishing an edge or a trough, and I'll actually see one off the side of the boat. And you can actually get them to eat, you know, a live bait. They're pretty happy to eat a bait for you. We've done it a number of times where I've seen one, or even better, we've lost one, and they'll kind of shimmy off to the side, and they'll actually eat again. It's pretty
good. Sure they will. As long as you didn't almost have them hooked.
Right.
If they had no metal in their mouth,
right,
you could get those fish to eat again.
Yeah, it's pretty neat, because they go, oh, did you see the flounder? They go, no. I said, watch this, you know, and this carpet comes out of the sand. You know, it's pretty cool to see if you haven't seen one.
When they're real aggressive, you can be reeling up a lure to make another cast.
And
they'll be way up in the water, and they'll be following it on top.
Yeah.
And you just slow down a little, let them catch up to it, and you'll catch that fish.
And they crack me up every time we let them go, the way they swim off, man.
Yeah.
It's like, it's a funny fish to see if you've never seen one.
They're a goofy one.
But, cool. So that's a couple tidbits on flounder, man. That's cool. What's next, Neil? What do we got going on next, buddy?
We got some Spanish mackerel action out there. Hitting the right spots at the right time. They're not in the same spots every single day.
Right.
It's been a 50% of the time type deal, and they're in there good, and you catch a bunch of them.
Now, the areas that you're fishing, are you seeing the threadfin school show up yet?
They are there. They're still deep.
Okay.
I'm not seeing bait fish in the shallows yet.
Okay.
I am seeing them deep, and there's plenty of bait around, but they are not flooded up into the shallower grass flats like they will be later in the year.
Sure. Yeah, we did I did a trip a couple days ago. I had a family in from New Jersey with a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old. And that's what we did, was we did some mackerel fishing.
Oh yeah.
And it was fun, man. It's good to kind of change it up a little bit, and every year it happens to me where, you know, I'll see the thread fins, or I'll be throwing the bait net, and I'll actually catch some mackerel, and I go, oh, time to slide out here and catch a few mackerel.
Yep.
And if you've never mackerel fished and kind of got on them and have never caught one, they're extremely hard fighters, man. They're a great fight. If you're just looking out to have a good time, or, you know, smoke some fish, make some fish dip, there's your answer.
The most popular fish spread I've made all year was the Spanish mackerel.
Yeah. I mean, I particularly don't care for it, but every year, once or twice, I'll take a load to a buddy, and he'll make up some dip, and that's what he does with it.
Oh yeah,
and he loves it. You know, and everybody else does too. You know, so it's definitely one of those alternatives to, you know, keeping a cooler full of trout or a couple redfish or this, that, and the other. I think is it 15 per person, if I'm not mistaken.
That is correct. 12-inch minimum size, 15 a person.
Yeah. I mean, so you can, I mean, rarely do we ever keep 15 per person.
And rarely do you keep a 12-incher.
Right. I mean,
throw those ones back.
Yeah, there's plenty of good ones out there. I've noticed in past years, when I've got somebody that wants to go fill the cooler with some meat, we'll go mackerel fishing, and I'll drop a couple big rods down or put a live bait way in the back of the boat, and we'll end up striking some kingfish. Make sure you're using a stinger rig for the kingfish, but that happens to us quite often where we'll be mackerel fishing or snapper fishing, and I'll throw what you consider flat lines out the back of the boat,
mm-hmm.
On a bait runner type rod, and we'll catch larger fish, kingfish, cobia. We've even caught a couple big sharks up on the surface like that. So
started seeing sharks in the last week.
Yeah, I'm starting to see the bonnet heads come in.
Yeah.
Those guys have been bouncing around. So
it was kind of neat. We had one day where there were some bull sharks in the 5 to 6 pound range. There was two of them that were hunting up in about a foot and a half of water. And the people enjoyed watching that.
They're neat fish, man. There was a number of times wading growing up as a kid, or even just here recently, where if you're wading and you're wading around a lot of mullet, every now and again you'll see a half a mullet floating around.
Yeah.
And it's happened to me, I couldn't even tell you how many times. And you go, what is that floating? And it's a half a mullet. And you can, plain as day, see exactly what it is. It's these smaller sharks. We get some sand sharks that'll move up in there. Little black tips will move up in there. The bonnet heads, and then, like you said, the bull sharks. So that kind of tells me that the flats are warming up, that we're getting to that point where the sharks are moving back in. They feel comfortable being back up there.
Right.
So things are happening. Again, I'm seeing all the big threadfin schools. So that means the mackerels, you know, right behind them, the kingfish are going to start showing up inside the bay. I start to catch them. So things are swinging forward, coming right through spring, and we're heading right towards summer. It's heating up, and things are getting on fire, man.
Yep, it's definitely coming along. We're into later April, and month of May has always been good to me. Earlier May, before it gets really hot.
Yeah.
Sometime in May, it's going to turn into summertime.
Yep.
And you're going to walk outside, and you're going to be soaked in sweat.
Instantly.
And when you get to there, I mean, you get into
wade fishing.
Those really early morning trips or those evening trips.
Yeah, exactly. Catch the tail end of that heat, man. That's the key. And the fish know, too. You know, you don't really, I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but you don't catch a lot of fish at high noon on a 100-degree day.
Yeah.
It's not doable.
Well, what I'll do, if I'm going to do trips like that where people want to go middle of the day, I'll take them to bridge fish. We'll do pompano.
Right, do some deep water stuff.
Those fish will cooperate in the middle of the day.
Sure.
Things are going to go dead on the flats.
Absolutely.
Just the way it goes. Well, Travis, we're coming up on our first break. I want to remind our listeners, the official website of the show, capmel.com, a great fishing resource for you to enjoy. And the Captain Mel Classic is coming up in 2 weeks, 2 weeks from yesterday, May 7th. And if you haven't registered for that, get registered. It is a great format that you will enjoy. When we get back, segment two, the tides and weather. Captain Travis and I are going to talk more current events in fishing. So when we get back, we're going to talk about that and more. So we're going to take that break, Travis, and when we get back,
sounds like a plan.
We will have more Fish Talk Radio. Sports Talk 1040, The Team. I'm Neil Taylor. We'll be right back.
O'Hara Braided Line is the only gel-spun fiber line that comes in four colors, including our multicolor braid, which changes every 10 yards for trolling and deep dropping. O'Hara Braided Line is not only the thinnest line in the fishing industry, but also ranks as the highest in abrasion resistance, using the highest and latest technology. O'Hara Braid will cast further and last longer. It comes in many spool sizes from 150 yards to bulk size. Very importantly, with great prices. You can find O'Hara Braided Line at many of your favorite tackle shops, Tampa Fishing Outfitters, or online at justforfishing.com.
Precision Tackle Manufacturers, the best performance floats on the market today. The Cajun Thunder, Back Bay, and Blue Water Thunder all offer quality floats that is the industry's first weighted surface disturbance quartz with a noise-attracting clip. No gimmicks, just a quality float that delivers trip after trip. Take it from me, Captain Jason Prieto. These floats will put more fish on the boat. From the original Cajun Thunder to the all-new Back Bay Thunder, you will catch more fish. You can pick one up at Tampa Fishing Outfitters or other retailers near you.
Tides and weather are brought to you by Werner Paddle. For decades, Werner Paddles have been handcrafted in the USA, making great paddles for kayak anglers. If you're looking for a new paddle, look to Werner and try one today, because a great fishing paddle is a great paddling paddle. Go to WernerPaddles.com to locate a dealer near you.
And we're back, segment two of the show. We got Captain Travis here. We got the tides and the weather.
Yes, Travis, we do.
Checking the weather on his phone.
Actually, Well, like we were talking about, it looks pretty good, guys. I mean, here again, now I'm not News Channel 8 or anything here, but you know, from what I can see from the report I'm getting from the professionals, it looks like we got some good weather. Kind of talking about that, let's move right into the tides, man. We're coming off full moon.
Coming off the full moon, gonna have some quarter moon tides to start, pretty much start the week.
Yep.
They should be getting better towards the end of the week.
Yep, and we're going to get some water, is what it looks like. As long as this wind stays laid down out of the north, guys, a lot of that water's going to push up in there. We're going to see some tides over 2 foot. So that'll be really interesting. That's something for us guys. You know, there's some areas that, fish have been, on our end of the bay, fish have been, they stage up out front of the islands, out on the bars, and then once they start seeing a few days, weeks of some higher water, they'll end up pushing back into some areas.
Okay.
That other times of the year either aren't fishable or the fish just aren't there.
Right.
And so that's going to be kind of neat to kind of get back into some areas and maybe fish in some places that some of these fish that have gotten, excuse me, a little bit pushed around may end up. So I'm looking forward to that. We're going to have some good water moving around. It looks like kind of towards the middle of the week you're going to have some two tide days. So you're going to get, you know, if you get a good half day, three-quarter day in, you're going to see two tide swings, which is pretty neat. So if you don't get them on one end, you can get them on the other. So definitely from what I see and what I kind of know about coming off a full moon, I don't know about you, Neil, but I like a couple days before, a couple days after that moon, unless I'm snook fishing at night. Now,
yeah.
When I snook fish at night, that's what I'm looking for, is I'm looking for that high moon, looking for that, you know, dumping water, outgoing tide, especially as we're moving into summer. And that's when I'll go, you know, big snook fishing. But other than that, as far as inshore, on the flats, you know, backcountry mangrove stuff, I prefer a couple days before and after. I feel like those fish, especially when we get good clear weather, you know, my opinion is they'll get up there and they'll chew all night, especially with this higher water. It can make it a little tough during the day sometimes. So
sure.
That's just kind of something that I've kind of put together over the years. And
pretty much the same of what I've observed. And right around new moon, right around the full moon, you're going to have the best water movement
sure.
of the month.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much standard. You can study tide charts all you want, but you are going to look at them and you're going to agree with me that the best water movement's around those two situations.
100%. 100%.
Every single time.
And it's funny, me and Jason got into it one episode, and I don't know if you were with us, Neil, but we were talking about the Salinar. And, of course, I was getting too scientific.
I listened to the show. I wasn't here.
You know, I was too scientific for Jason. But it's something to look at, guys. And if you missed that episode, real quick while we're in the tides kind of segment here, what the Salinar is, if you hear that or you read it or you're trying to get an idea of what it is, it's not only for fish. It's kind of a prediction on animal activity, really, is what it boils down to. And even farther than that, it has to do with the position of the sun and the moon. Lunar stuff, which is our tides, is only really the moon. But the solunar, it has to do with the position of the sun and the moon. And what you'll find is if you take your solunar chart and you compare it to your tide chart, what you're going to find is that the points at which the water moves the most will be what they call a major solunar. As it slows down top and bottom, that's when you'll have a minor. And so on the days where you have two tides, you actually get a major and a minor, sometimes two.
Mm-hmm.
And so I used to study solunar a lot when I first started getting real serious about fishing. And I've kind of laid off of it over the years because I know how to correlate that to the tide. So now I just look at my tide chart and I go, well, pretty much the solunar is going to be, if I've got an incoming tide that's going to last, say, 4 hours and bring in a foot and a half of water, I know that pretty much at the middle of that tide is going to be the best opportunity, or what they would consider, you know, normally the major, which would be the dump of water coming in. Now, depending on which area you're in, that could be on one end or the other, and sometimes certain areas and certain holes that you're fishing might be at the tail end of an outgoing or the tail end of an incoming. But that's kind of a real quick explanation on my end on kind of the solunar, because I get people asking about it, and they go, well, what's the difference? And that's kind of the difference.
I pay for the solunars that are posted on CapMail.com.
Mm-hmm.
So anyone who wants solunar tables for this part of Florida, go to CapMail.com, and on the main banner, click on Florida Solunars. And my thoughts on solunars, and Captain Travis gave a great description of what the solunars are and what they mean. to me, the salooners, I pay attention to them. I look at them, mm-hmm. and I'm aware of when there's a major, when there's a minor. A salooner is something that I look at secondary to the tides.
Right.
The tide's more important to me than a salooner. Those salooner periods can make good fishing better.
Absolutely.
I would say I wouldn't base my trips completely on salooners. Where I used to always utilize the salooners was before the freeze of snook.
Right.
I haven't taken a snook trip in 6.5 years.
Yeah, and snook are very predictable because they're so tide driven.
When we had, on my morning trips, whenever we had a salooner period, I would make sure the people were on snook spots.
Yeah.
And we did very well by paying attention to the salooners and being after snook when we had one of those majors,
mm-hmm.
one of those minors.
Mm-hmm.
So they're worth being a part of your fishing plan. I would say concentrate on your tides a little more than the salooners, but pay attention to both.
Right, right. Yeah, absolutely. And another thing with the tides, and I know we've talked about it before, is don't always go and kind of base your day on what the tide chart is, because there's been several days, even with this wind, and really the wind's a major player here, guys, or storm or front. But just because your tide chart says it's going to be 1.5 feet or 1.5, don't take that for granted. Because if you get a north wind and that water didn't, you know, two tide cycles ago didn't get to a point where it was supposed to be, the next two tide cycles with a north wind may be 0.5 to 1 foot off. And so the point I make is always be aware of what the water's doing, how fast it's coming in, and make sure that you've got enough water to get into an area or get out of an area. Because it's happened to me a couple different times over the years of, well, I know I was supposed to have a two-foot tide, and it was supposed to be going out for another 6 hours, but you end up getting hung up in an area where you don't have any water and you can't get out, or you didn't have what you thought you had, and you idled all the way across the flat to get to a certain place. So the tides are great. Fish in areas, you know, over time, and learn how to read your area, read your surrounding. Look at a mangrove point. Look at a certain channel marker. Look at some landmark that gives you an idea of where that water's at. And over the time of you fishing there, you'll understand what kind of water you're working with. Because I see way too many people go just off their tide chart and run up into an area or go to a place that their tide chart says is 2 foot, and it's really only 1 foot right now because of other things.
Right.
So, you know, keep that in mind, that the tide charts aren't always dead, you know, 100% accurate. They're an estimate that you could look at the tide for 10 years from now, and it would tell you, you know. So,
right.
Just food for thought.
Good tip. Very good tip. Segment 3 of the show is going to be the Come On Man. I don't know if Travis has got one, but I've got one.
I think I could muster one up, man. It's been a good week, but a rough week. I think I got a few.
Yeah, the wind. I mean, the client stuff's always funny.
Oh, yeah.
There's stuff that comes up, but the wind, I mean, we've been fishing in the wind since November.
Oh, it is.
Will it ever let up?
Honking, man.
I mean,
honking.
We finally had on Wednesday, finally had a day where it was not blasting, but it was blowing. And then now they're showing it in the forecast, lighter winds, but then they revise it, and they say it's going to blow.
Yeah, instantly. I just get up in the morning, I go, Neil, and you just... There's nothing you can do. You just deal with it.
Exactly. That's just the way it goes.
It is, man. It sure is.
Well, what do you have planned for the week? Do you have a bunch of trips on the schedule?
Yeah. Things are starting to shape up. Pretty booked up. We've got a lot going on. Fish are moving in. Soon to be doing some tarpon fishing. Got that coming up.
Yep.
That's something we'll probably do a good talk on that here coming up as we get more into that season. But things are just looking good, man. Ready for some good weather. Ready to enjoy some of those days out there instead of getting blown around as bad. But other than that, man, we've been catching a lot of fish, so I can't complain. We could be getting blown around and sitting with strings in the wind.
Yeah.
So the fishing's been good. The weather's been a little sour. But all in all, though, the actual conditions, the weather the last few days as far as sunshine and cloud, it's been beautiful out.
Yeah,
water's been crystal clear. I'll take a little bit of ripple, just not whitecaps.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what I'm looking forward to, is getting some stable weather where you can actually plan trips and say, well, this is what we're going to do, instead of every morning get up and go, well, let's kind of reevaluate this situation.
And it's coming. March and April, you can count on wind every year.
Yep.
You get high pressure parked out in the Atlantic somewhere between here and Georgia. That's going to throw off east wind every day.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of you know, hurricanes, tornadoes, all that kind of jazz. I found out the other day I was out. I guess it was a week or two ago, and I had ran out. Jason was running late, so I ran out and I got bait. Well, it was, I went out in a little bit of a storm where I could see the front of the storm coming across, and it was over by Gandy.
Yeah.
And I'm out there, and I hit this one little just patch of just the perfect storm calm deal where the marker I was at, catching bait, was zero wind, the waves laid down. Now, a half a mile down the bay north of me was just this squall line of the nastiest stuff you could ever imagine. And come to find out, it was a tornado that ran through Gandy that morning.
Yeah.
And I was out in the middle of the bay catching bait. I come in, and the whole squall, I watched it. I actually ran out into the middle of the bay, and I watched it blow right across the south shore. And I come in, and everybody was freaking out. They're like, oh, man, did you get caught in that? And I said, no, I actually just sat there and watched it go by.
Yeah, that tornado about 3 weeks ago passed within 20 yards of my house.
Did it? It was probably the same. Was it out by Gandy?
No, that was Safety Harbor.
Okay, okay.
And it was on the news all morning long. There was a helicopter hanging out over the house, which got annoying.
Ugh.
But it knocked down a bunch of trees. It tore up some stuff. For me, it took stuff off my kayak trailer, like the the little plastic lids I have. Those were. I was pulling over along McMullen Booth and picking that stuff up for a couple of days. But we were lucky. It came real close to the house, but we did not get
it. It's dangerous, man. You know, I mean, I kind of risked it that morning. I kind of knew, but. You know, I did my best to be safe, and I was safe, but it was a neat experience to actually watch that squall line. I've seen it, you know, being out there, you see them come.
Yeah.
And it is neat to kind of get off to the side of one and just watch them go through.
Well, Travis, we're going to take our second break here. When we get back, we'll have more fishing talk. We'll have to come on, man. We'll be right back. I've got a bite. The Skyway Fishing Piers open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Drive up to terrific action at bare minimum expense. No fishing license necessary. Enjoy some great fishing action at the mouth of Tampa Bay. Take advantage of our expert staff, rod rentals, and enjoy some awesome rod bending action from both our north and south piers. We are looking forward to seeing you at the Skyway Piers.
Designed by professional guides with four characteristics that all high-end fishing rods have. Durability, sensitivity, stability, and value. Built to use under all fishing conditions that every angler faces, there is no rod that covers more of your fishing needs. Ohiro series rods include gold, platinum, signature, specialty kayak, and tournament rods. A rod for every angler. Whether you're a recreational angler, guide, or tournament professional, they have a rod that will be as versatile as your fishing condition. Find Ohiro rods at many of your favorite tackle shops, Tampa Fishing Outfitters, or www.justforfishing.com.
And now it's time for the Come On Man, sponsored by Foy's Tire Service. If you need to get some new tires on your truck, car, or even your boat, just give Foy's Tire Service a call at 813-241-4017.
And we're back, segment three of Tampa Fishing Outfitters Radio Show. I'm Neil Taylor with Strike Three Kayak Fishing. Travis, what's the name of your business?
It's Instinct Fishing Co. out of South Shore Tampa Bay. I fish inshore for redfish, snook, and trout. I keep my boat in Little Harbor there. That's where I pick up most of my charters. We do pick up a couple other different places, but that's mainly where I run the business out of. You can always give me a call if you're interested in an inshore trip. You can do some nearshore stuff if water permits, but you can catch me on my cell phone. That's 813-830-3474. Or you can go on my website at www.fishbyinstinct.com. On there, I got all different kinds of stuff, pictures, bios, all kinds of neat stuff. I got some different apps for the tide, and I got my Facebook feed up there. And so if you're looking to kind of check me out and see what's going on, you can hit me up there or give me a call, and we can talk some fishing or get you booked to do a fishing trip.
Captain Travis works hard. He does a real good job out there. So anyone looking for that experience, get in touch with him and book a trip. My angle in the fishing world is kayak fishing, and I wouldn't be in business if I did not do instructional kayak fishing, which is teaching people how to make this their hobby. Had two people in the past week where I took them fishing, and they now own kayaks, and they own all the gear to go do it.
I was going to say, how many, just so the folks out there know, are you open to somebody bringing their own kayak and showing them how to fish off?
Yeah, I'm insured, so what I have to do legally, I have to inspect their kayak before they can use it.
The Neil inspection.
So,
did you like the Coast Guard guys at the boat ramp where you wear a big suit? And
no, I don't have the suit. But once in 11 years, I told someone they couldn't use their boat.
Nice. How did that go over?
They were a little insulted, but I just told them, I said, that may sink. And so a week later, the guy called me and goes, "Boy, you're right about that."
Gone.
He said I was out there. I was anchored on this spot. And then I was like, thinking about moving, but I stayed. And then I went to paddle, and the boat wouldn't move. He said I had 40 gallons of water inside my kayak.
Holy smokes.
And so I talked to him about it. Said, if you have that happen, get out of the boat, drag it to shore, lay all your stuff on the shore, and then flip the boat over.
Yeah.
And let all the water. I said, it's going to take forever. The drain hole size you have, it's going to take forever for you to get all that water. But that's what he had
that's
to do.
That's what you got
to
do, man.
And then he paddled in, and he goes, I'm going to buy a new kayak.
And what kind of kayak would you recommend, Neil?
I recommend trying a bunch of stuff and finding what works for you. What I use is the Native Ultimate. I've been using it for 9 years. It's the greatest boat ever made as far as I'm concerned. The best selling point of that boat, and when people are looking at kayaks, you need to consider this. The Native Ultimate, anyone can lift it.
Super
a lot
light.
Of people buy that. You know, the trend in kayaks is heavier, and I don't understand that. All these companies are making these boats that are heavier and heavier. I don't want to.
Would that be for like a stability thing as far as standing up? What would be the reason?
Yeah, and gimmicks.
Okay.
When they redesign
more plastic, they can charge a couple bucks extra.
Yeah, or metal. metal for other fixtures. Like when they redesigned the Ultimate, what a mistake. What a tragedy they did. So the old mold was worn out, and I spent 3 days with their engineers, and I harped on it. And I said, whatever you do, don't change the essence of this boat. And for sure, the essence of this boat is anyone can lift it.
Mm-hmm.
Their new boat, 19 pounds heavier.
Mm. That's a pretty big sting in that.
That's when I left their program.
Yeah.
So I'm still using their boats, and I'm still selling more of their boats, but they got taken over by another company, and the first decision by the new company was to make the old Ultimate again, which is smart.
And I've seen them. They're more like a canoe, right? Like, I mean, not a canoe, but the way that they're set up where you're actually down in the boat. But it's still, you kind of get that surface ride feel right, with the seat.
It's got a hull. You know, a canoe's flat.
Right,
so the
right.
wind's going to blow it around. This thing has like a catamaran style hull, so this is a canoe that paddles like a kayak.
Gotcha.
There's lots of open area to put stuff down. That was my original appeal. But it handles the water great, and it's comfortable. The seat in that boat set the standard for the entire industry. Every other company had to change their seats because...
Right.
Native was selling more boats than anyone because that seat was the most comfortable.
Right. It's like a lawn chair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's elevated and framed, so you're not sitting on any plastic.
Right.
All the boats I ever had were, even if there was padding and it was in contact with plastic, after a little while, you wanted to get out of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
For sure. For sure. Well, that's cool, man. So, yeah, if you're looking for a kayak, man, get a hold of Neil. Looking for a charter, get a hold of Neil. Looking for a laugh, get a hold of Neil. Looking for a date? You looking to get a hold of Neil?
Got someone that needs to rough it up?
Get a hold of Neil?
Anyway, the Come On Man segment.
Oh, man. I got one. It was pretty good. We had a good laugh with it. We were fishing some redfish the other day, and I knew an area where there was some redfish. We've been getting them on the outgoing tide in the evening, a certain little pocket they sit down in. So we were kind of slid up in there, and I had a couple guys on the boat, and I said, all right, you know, kind of started dumping the live well a little bit, and they started boiling. I said, okay, here we go, guys. So one guy throws out, two guys throws out, bang, bang, redfish, redfish. Okay, great. Three guys throws out, bang, he hooks up, sweet. Two redfish in the boat, boom. What comes in? Thundercat. And I'm like, holy smokes, right? So I said, okay, man, you're first. So we go, round two, you know? One guy out, two guy out, bang, bang, three guy out. The first guy was the same guy and the last guy, Thundercat, right? And I'm like, are you kidding me? Next two guys, two redfish. Went like four rounds before the guy got a dang redfish.
Oh.
And somehow, I said, come on, man, what are you doing? Are you licking your bait? Are you not holding your bait? Then it just starts getting personal at that point.
Oh, yeah.
You know? But he was the Thundercat king, man. I mean, and these weren't small catfish. I mean, they were hanging with the redfish, man.
Yeah.
I think they thought they were redfish.
I've actually seen them trying to eat a redfish.
Man, I'm
got
telling you.
Got a smaller redfish on. I've had them attack the redfish.
These are what Travis qualifies as thundercats. These are like 8-pound catfish.
Yeah.
I mean, these aren't the small guys.
They will slime up your leader.
Slime up, yeah. 4 foot up the leader, the whole 9 yards. But it was just the funniest thing, man. This guy had such trouble getting redfish and literally throwing in the same spot as the other two guys. Redfish, thundercat. And so that's kind of my come on, man. It was, and I'm sitting there,
that's
of course,
good story.
Then it gets personal. I'm like, well, crap, I'm like, man, this guy's got to catch a redfish.
Well, at least he was catching fish.
And it was like, yeah, I'm going, come on, man. Like, so my come on man's not like a come on man. It's like, come on, man. Like, get with it here, dude. But anyway, yeah, man. So it was a real good time. We ended up catching, ended up getting one. So it was kind of cool. But it was like 3-1, man. So they ragged him the entire way back to the dock. It was good stuff.
Mine, I am not against power boats.
Right.
I'm against jet skis. I have this great dream where the jet ski factory burns down. I wake up in a good mood. But anyway, 3 times in a row, the spot where we catch mackerel,
right?
3 times in a row there, the same yellow boat comes around the corner and goes in between the kayaks that I have the people in.
Oh.
I mean, this is unsafe operation,
yeah.
For one.
Yeah.
Well, the third time it happened, I mean, the first 2 times they kept going.
Oof.
The third time they came back to fish it there, and I told the 3 guys that were with me, I go, I'll be
right
back.
Watch this.
And these guys laughed because they said, we heard a conversation voice from a distance, and then we heard you screaming. And they said, we could almost make out every word. Well, these guys, A, they claimed it wasn't them. Wrong. And I go, because I've got your boat number. I took a picture of you this time through.
Yeah.
And I go, I'm sending it.
Game over,
boys. People tell you what you've been doing out here. And I said, that's the same number on that boat there. I go, and they touched all the wrong things to me, and I let them have it.
It sometimes it gets to that point where you just... You try all day to stay buttoned in, and then it's.
I mean, they did it one
boom.
Time.
Yeah.
And they did it one go. Time, so they knew that there are kayaks that hang out around that corner, because they came around that corner. And, unlikely they're actually going to run someone over, but they ran right through where I had these guys fishing.
Well,
3 times
I mean,
in
you
a
can
row.
Roll a kayak, you go through pushing a wake, you can roll a kayak real easy.
Sure,
you
could.
And we see the same thing over on our end, and it has, Neil, and I feel for you, brother, because. I'm on the other end of the spectrum, and, we always try to look for them, but I tell you what, there's some times where, I'm very observant of my surroundings, even more so when I have clients on the boat, but they are, if you're not paying attention, you can miss a brown or a green kayak floating, even a blue kayak kind of floating on the water that you won't, if you're not looking for them, and you'll get closer than what you think you are. And we see it a lot on the South Shore. We get quite a few Cockroach Bay kayakers that'll split. Some go north, some go south.
Right.
And it's a very dangerous place to kayak, guys.
Other areas of Florida, I will tell people, put a giant flag on your kayak.
Sure.
Put it up in the stern. Because in a lot of these areas, there could be airboats and, other boats that are tearing around corners. And if you have that flag up there, they'll know something's around the corner.
Yep.
That
yep.
may save you from getting creamed.
Yep. And unfortunately, on the kayak, you just got to be extra. It's like riding a motorcycle. You're on a motorcycle on a highway. Not to say that anybody owns it, but that's kind of what it's like in terms of, you can't hear a kayak coming, but you can hear a boat coming.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that the boat's right at all, but, as a kayaker, because when I used to bounce from my kayak to my boat, they see me, and it's not all the case. Sometimes they don't, or sometimes they just flat out don't care. You know what I mean? And unfortunately, the kayaker ends up getting the short end of the stick most times, unfortunately.
These guys demonstrated to me that they were in the category they didn't care.
Yeah.
So I let them have it.
And that's what you got to do.
And
no,
I 100%. I sent the picture of their boat to the authorities, and I got a reply said, we're going to have a talk with them.
Good. And that's what should happen.
Because, these guys all believe me. And I told them, I said, it didn't happen once. If it happens once, you're going to say, it's an accident.
Right.
They do it a second time, and you're like, now they really have made an accident twice. They do it a third time in the exact same spot. We've got a problem.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. And it is, man, especially with the islands in the backcountry and the areas that we're in. We see it a lot, man. And it's on everybody's shoulders because let me tell you what, there are some people, but there's not a lot of people that could go to sleep at night after running over a kayaker or killing a person.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. And I don't believe that. Maybe that's just my optimism in me. But, you know, most of the people out there, you don't want that to happen. So in the back of your mind, make sure you don't. You know, be cautious of your surroundings. Be cautious of other people. Be respectful. That's all you ask for.
Yeah.
And chances are it'll come back around. You'll have a good day on the water. And, you know, everybody can enjoy why we're out there, man.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah. No,
I don't want to scream at people.
Exactly. You know, I mean, it's and springtime is always even more nuts than any time of the year.
Yeah.
Because everybody's been cooped up all year. We get great fishing reports. And, you know, everybody's jonesing to get out, you know. So there's room for everybody. There's enough fish for everybody. We just all gotta play the game right.
Well, Travis, we're going to come up on our final break here. When we get back, segment four of the show is the Captain's Tip of the Week. Again, the Captain Mill Classic is coming up 13 days from now. The Trout and Redfish Classic, open to all amateurs. It's all lure. It's all amateur. And we hope you join in. It's only $30. $5 buy-in for the bonus species, which is flounder. $10 buy-in for the overall pool to compete against all anglers. We will be right back after these messages.
Captain Jason Prieto here, and if you're in the market for a new boat, I can't think of a better choice than Canyon Bay Boats. From their 2470 with its huge front deck to the popular 2400 with its full transom and offshore capabilities, they have the perfect boat for you. Each boat is custom built to fit your fishing style, and they have an option list that will make any angler glad they chose Canyon Bay. If you'd like more information on Canyon Bay, check out their website at www.canyonbayboats.com. Or just give them a call for a sea trial at 727-639-7584.
Want to catch more fish? Try Ohiro's 100% fluorocarbon leader. It's by far the most invisible fluorocarbon on the market today, with superior abrasion resistance to meet any rugged saltwater conditions. Ohiro fluorocarbon leader is easy to tie and comes in all strengths to fit every angler's needs. Used by many tournament anglers and charter boat captains, Ohiro fluorocarbon leader should be in your tackle box.
See them at www.justforfishing.com, Tampa Fishing Outfitters, or any of your major tackle shops.
Want to fish with one of the hosts of the Tampa Fishing Outfitters radio show? All you have to do is give us a call, 813-373-2610. And now it's time for the Captain's Tip of the Week.
This segment brought to you by Powerpole Shallow Water Anchors. Swift, silent, and secure. For more information, go to powerpole.com.
And the final segment of the show, Captain Travis. Captain Travis is going to give you a tip of the week, something that's going to help you be more successful out there in your fishing adventures around Tampa Bay.
Well, here's the tip, and it's an interesting one, but here would be a tip that I would kind of throw out there for this, and this is kind of, it goes towards just this time of the year, time of fishing. Don't take anything for granted. There's so many opportunities out there right now. And what I mean by that is there's so many fish running around. You may be zoned in on a redfish or zoned in on a snook or zoned in on some trout. Go fishing and what I call fish by instinct. That's the way I grew up fishing. And when I would go out fishing as a kid, I'd go out to catch fish. And we get so bundled up in the things we're going to fish for and targeting, and we rate our day based on what we went to target and what we caught.
Right.
Guys, there's cobia out there. There's big schools of jacks right now. We were getting some big, like, 10-pound jacks, man. Awesome.
I haven't run into them yet.
I mean, we got them on the bar one morning, running down the bar, just blasting bait, and it was a quick thing. We got, like, three of them. They were there. They were gone. Who knows where they went. But we took advantage of that. Now, did the guys on my boat want to catch jacks? Did they hire me to go catch jacks? No. But we did, and it was awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, so the point I'm trying to make is if you're trying to get to an area or there's somebody in your fishing hole, don't crowd them out. Go look somewhere else for a little while. Go check a marker. Go check a flat. Go check an area where you haven't fished in a while or maybe you've never fished. And you may find something that'll blow your mind. I was trolling motoring down the bar the other day looking for bait after I got off charter, and I saw three cobia in a place that I don't really see cobia, and I never really look for them. But they were there, and if I would have been a little bit quicker on the gun and been able to get a bait and do everything, I probably could have caught one.
Right.
But I was up in the tower, didn't really care, and I was like, oh, wow, cool. This is the time of year where the water's really clear. We're starting to get some good tide moving around. We got bait coming in. What that does is that moves all these different predator fish into areas, up onto bars, over bars. And so keep your eyes open. Don't get on your normal, don't get on your pattern. If you're going to, if you fish and you fish, you know, call it the weekend warrior, somewhat serious, and you've got a couple five, six holes that you like to fish every time you go out, this is the time of year to mix it up. This is the time of year to go fish three of those holes and find three new ones. And that would be my tip of the week, because there's all kinds of different things going on right now with the bait, with the water temperature changing. We're getting a good warming trend on the water temperature, which what that does, guys, is that moves some fish out of that deeper water up onto some of these flats that may have been sitting out there on the edges in 6, 8, 10 foot. So Captain's Tip of the Week from Captain Trav is going to be fish by instinct, look in places that you haven't looked before, and find that little jewel that's kind of just hanging out there waiting for you to find, man.
Captain Travis, as usual, always with a good tip of the week. I would add to it, you know, that's good. That's good to add variety. Think outside the box,
yeah.
Just like Travis is saying. So keep your eyes open.
Mm-hmm.
Be ready for those other opportunities. Go and try that other stuff. It's there for you. Get out there and do it. So great tip of the week, Travis. We got about 6 minutes left in the show. So when's your tarpon season kickoff?
Yeah, we can do a little pre-tarpon. I tend to fish the tarpon a little bit later in the season. Jason's gearing up now. He's getting ready to head over to O'Neill's. He'll have his boat over there, and he'll be running tarpon trips. If you're looking to book a tarpon trip, give him a call. I know he puts in his work and puts in his time to get out there and do some tarpon fishing out on the beach and out in some of the large, deep areas, passes through Tampa Bay. Me personally, I wait a little bit longer. I normally kind of pick up the late end of June,
right,
through the beginning of July. And the reason for that is I really enjoy fishing those fish once they come inside Tampa Bay. Now, there's tarpon kind of coming through, and there's actually resident tarpon that live in some of the areas that I fish, but we don't really target them. There's a really cool thing that happens, and you got to be looking for it. When the fry bait all comes in, the tarpon go bananas. It is, you almost don't even have to catch one. You can go out there and watch these tarpon just skyrocket baits. And it's the coolest thing. If you've never seen it, it is just totally awesome. I mean, I took some good clients out last year, and the last few times we tarpon fished, we caught tarpon, but it wasn't going off, as we'd say.
Right.
You'd see some tarpon rolling here and there. I got them in the heat of this what I'd call like a bait run. Where all these fry baits just move up this certain channel, and it is an unbelievable sight. And we caught two tarpon, and all they could talk about was watching and taking video of the other tarpon that we weren't trying to catch. Just an unbelievable sight. So anyway, I tarpon fish a little bit later in the season. And saying that, tarpon season is here. I mean, we're starting to see them. I'm getting good reports of tarpon showing up.
I've started to see a couple of them.
I've been seeing them roll in a couple different areas. Not real, real thick inside yet, but definitely out on the beaches, some of the major areas that the tarpon migration happens. There's been quite a few guys out there catching them. Plenty of big thread fins. Let's kind of move towards some bait. If you're looking to do some tarpon fishing, catch you some thread fins. If you can find past crabs, I didn't really look. That was another thing, Neil, coming off this full moon. Have you seen any past crabs?
I have not.
Coming through? Okay. I haven't seen any.
I have spent time in an area where I would normally see a few, but I have not seen any coming through. None.
So that's kind of a key to if you can get those past crabs. There's certain areas, certain bridges that you can get under on what we call the hill tide, and you can net the crabs up. Normally, you know, the size 2 or 3, 4 inches wide is about the best size.
And how do you hook them on a hook?
I like hooking them. I don't really know the technical name, but I hook them right behind their back leg.
Yeah.
Right in the corner there, and I go one in the leg and kind of come out the back of his shell there.
Yeah.
You want something strong enough to hold the hook on, but you also want something that the hook's going to pull out of when you do a tarpon.
Right.
They eat so violent that you really need to get a good hook set on a tarpon. I use, normally nothing smaller than a 6-aught circle hook, sometimes all the way up to an 8-aught. It just depends on what I'm fishing, and I really boil it down to my bait.
Yeah.
I've got a smaller bait, I dumb down the hook.
Right.
If I'm using bigger baits, I'll go up on the hook. It's not going to hurt me.
Right.
But there's a lot of different techniques for tarpon fishing. We could do a whole segment on it.
We should do a whole show on it.
Yeah, it's a pretty neat fish to target. I've fished for them a lot, and it's a neat thing to do. I've done it down in the Keys, which is kind of different. I've even done it down in Boca Grande and, of course, up in Tampa Bay. So a lot of different methods as far as live bait, crab, cut bait. There's a lot of different ways to get the fish eating, and they're a very, very temperamental fish. If they're not wanting to feed, a lot of times you have to just wait them out.
Yeah.
That's
with almost every fish we have.
Yeah, well, that's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that stinks about tarpon is you're watching them roll and swim in front of you, and then you're throwing a bait right in front of them, and like a light switch, the tide may change. Something may happen. The light may dim a little bit, and all of a sudden, that same fish you just threw at will instantly inhale that bait. And it's a really neat thing with tarpon fishing. Number one, you can constantly watch them, and then once you get a hookup, I mean, it is an incredible pull on a fish that will just kind of blow your mind if you're not expecting it. Because it's an instantaneous thrill, shock, just 100 miles an hour, here we go, fish. And so if you're not expecting that or, haven't ever experienced it, it's definitely something to check out.
There you have it. The tarpon season coming up. Call Captain Travis. Call Captain Jason if you want to get in on that action. My fishing trips, I don't target tarpon, but we jumped 32 tarpon in 2015.
That's got to be a wild ride, baby.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to do it. I've actually hooked a couple, but I've never actually got on and really rode one.
I've got the people who are using trout and redfish gear, so I tell them not to set the hook hard.
Yeah.
And the people that set the hook hard, I'm going to be out of line in about 10 seconds.
Yeah.
But the people that don't set the hook hard, the fish jumps and throws the lure, and that fish may jump two more times after it's thrown it.
Yeah.
But we did get 32 in the air last year, which was by far a record.
That's awesome.
The only one that was caught was the one that I hooked. I only hooked one last year, about 40 pounds, and I got him on my little trout outfit.
We got one inside the bay last year that was pushing. We estimate him to be around 220, 225 pounds. Big, big fish. We've been fishing real quick. We've been fishing these giant tarpon baits all day. My cousin reaches back for no reason, grabs a small white bait, like 3-inch white bait, throws it out, and instantly hooks up with a 200-pound tarpon. Mm-hmm. It was the neatest thing I've ever seen. So elephants eat peanuts, folks.
Yeah. Well, that's going to do it for this week's show. I want to thank Captain Travis for coming in again. We're going to catch everyone again next week right here on 1040 AM. You guys have a great week and happy fishing to you.
Tight lines.
Precision Tackle manufactures the best performance floats on the market today. The Cajun Thunder, Back Bay, and Blue Water Thunder all offer quality floats that is the industry's first weighted surface-to-surface quartz with a noise-attracting clip. No gimmicks, just a quality float that delivers trip after trip. Take it from me, Captain Jason Prieto. These floats will put more fish on the boat. From the original Cajun Thunder to the all-new Back Bay Thunder, you will catch more fish. You can pick one up at Tampa Fishing Outfitters or other retailers near you.